Acts chapter 3, Peter and John go to pray, and they meet a lame man on the way. If you're not already familiar with it, there's a very good children's song which recounts this entire story. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms, and this is what Peter did say. If you don't have a copy of the song and would like one, just let me know. I'll have one here available for you for Sunday. Especially with the younger kids, it's one that the younger kids really like and helps them to remember the story. This is a really wonderful account. I always say that. It's always true. Later on in Acts, of course, as we heard in our sermon a couple weeks ago, Peter is going to be doing so many miracles that the street is just going to be filled with people wanting even the shadow of Peter to touch them so that they might be healed. But this is immediately after Pentecost. As far as we can tell, it's the first miracle done through the apostles, and so it has a very special place in the history of the church and in the mind of Luke, who wrote Acts as well. He remembers it especially. It's also especially important because this was a man that everybody knew. All the Jews, as they were going up to the temple, they saw him every time they went up to the temple. They knew he had been lame from birth. They were used to seeing him sitting there begging. So it wasn't a trick done by Peter and John, but someone that they all knew to be a lame beggar. And through the apostles, God does this wonderful miracle, and the name of Jesus is proclaimed. So, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. One day, Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer. Many of your translations are going to say the ninth hour. That was about 3 in the afternoon. So, according to Jewish time begins at sunrise and sunset. So you can think about 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. is when they start counting. So the ninth hour would be 9 hours after 6 a.m. So that's about 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Notice that Peter and John, they're going up to the temple. It was the common practice of the early Christian church to worship in the temple. They were used to doing this as Jews, and they continued that practice until the time of the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. The Christian church in Jerusalem often met in the temple, part of the temple, and to praise God. And that's very natural. That temple was the symbol of God's presence among Israel. It's where they'd gone to pray and praise God their whole life. And you notice how the whole story really centers around the temple, Jesus, and the prayer and praise of God. It's Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray. The lame man every day sits there at the temple, you know, asking for alms, sits there near to God. We're going to see when he is healed. The first thing he does is go into the temple to praise God and to proclaim his praises. And everything being done with the result that the name of Jesus is proclaimed. So the Jews had the temple that they went to worship Jesus in, but our temple, of course, is when Christ comes and lives in our hearts. The temple gate called Beautiful was on the east side of the temple. It was a busy, busy gate. A lot of people entered by that way, the common entrance into the temple. And Solomon's portico was a porch on that side of the temple. On the outside of the temple, where a lot of people would gather. Of course, not everyone could go into the temple. Only Jewish men were allowed into the inner temple. Any Gentiles and any women and any children as well had to stay outside and would gather in the court area while the Jewish men went inside. But anyway, so this beggar is waiting there. He's lame, so he can't work. He has to depend upon others for food. And he doesn't have any choice but to sit and beg. Peter looks straight at the man. Notice the attitude of Peter and John compared to the attitude of many people in the world, and certainly many people in other cultures. Peter and John have mercy on this man. They see in him one who is affected by the brokenness and the sin of this world. They don't see in him someone lower than themselves, someone to be disdained. Now, how often, even people who help out beggars, how often do they really look directly, eye to eye in them? That looking that Peter did, and then calling Peter and John, calling him to look at them too, is a sign of, okay, we're not better than you. You're not worse than us. You know, you're not someone to be disdained, but you're someone who, like us, is stuck in this broken, sinful world, and you need help just like we need help from Jesus. And so they treat the man with respect and equality, something that we should remember and learn from as well, and call him, of course, to repentance through Jesus Christ. So he says, look at me, and he looks at him. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Then taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles had become strong. He jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Well, again, this man was lame from birth, so you can imagine what a joy it was for him. Finally, for the first time in his life, he can use his legs. And what a miracle it is that the Lord does. He not only heals his legs, but immediately gives him the ability to use them, which is far more complicated than just having muscles and bones that work. The balance and the signals from the brain and the ability to know and do that is something that kids spend the first year of their life learning how to do. It's not a simple thing. But when Jesus heals, or when Jesus heals through Peter here, he heals everything. He heals it completely and instantly. This man is not only immediately able to walk, but is able to also jump around, and he shows his joy and praise to God, his thankfulness to God, by jumping and praising God. You'll also notice that the difference, an important difference here, when Peter heals, he does it in the name of Jesus Christ. Throughout the New Testament, when we see Jesus healing, he doesn't do it in the name of somebody else. He does it by his own power and his own authority as the Son of God. But of course, Peter and John, and us as well, we don't have that authority. We don't have that power in and of ourselves. So we can pray to God. We can pray to Jesus to heal to somebody, and he will if it's his will. Now, we don't know how Peter knew, but Peter knew in this case that it was God's will that this man be healed. And he speaks the word then in the name of Jesus, and the man rises up and walks. Peter and John were only instruments of Jesus's greater authority. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. So it was the normal hour of prayer, just a little before the evening sacrifice. Lots of people were coming up to the temple, not just the Christians, but lots of other people. As we said before, they knew this man. They knew that he had spent his whole life sitting there at that gate, and that he was lame, and so they're astonished at what Peter and John did through him. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own powers or godliness we made this man well? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." So right away, these men are staring at Peter and John as though the power is in them. But of course, Peter immediately directs them to Jesus, as he did from the very beginning when he talked to this man, "Silver and gold have I none, but what do I have? I have the message of healing and forgiveness which comes from Jesus Christ. And that's an important aspect of this account. Even if we can't necessarily heal people from physical diseases, the Holy Spirit hasn't given us that gift or that promise. But nevertheless, we do have the message of healing from Jesus Christ, the healing of souls, the healing of relationships, the healing of sin. In fact, the gospel was often referred to by the early church as the medicine of life, not because they thought that the Bible would heal and give everlasting earthly life, but because they recognized it as the way to eternal life through God. And so Peter, when the crowd starts to maybe praise and glorify him and John, immediately passes the glory on to where it belongs, points them to Jesus Christ. And that's the whole point of this miracle. Hey, I mean, the miracle was mercy for this man who had been born lame and now is able to walk. But it was also an opportunity for Peter and John to proclaim Jesus Christ. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. You notice how Peter emphasizes both Jesus' humility and his glorification. He emphasizes both Jesus as a man and Jesus as God. You know, in verse 13, he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob glorified his servant Jesus. So there, Peter is speaking of Jesus as a man, as in his humility, as subject to God the Father. But then he also calls him, in verse 15, you killed the author of life, the one who created all things. So it's certainly not as if Peter doesn't understand that Jesus is God. And you might, some people get that from verse 13, that, oh, he was Jesus, his servant Jesus, he's calling him just an ordinary man. No. Verse 15, he makes it very clear, he is the author of life, and God raised him from the dead. So Peter emphasizes both his humanity and his deity, his human nature and his divine nature. Notice, of course, he's speaking to Jews who are coming to the temple in order to worship God, and he immediately identifies as one of them. He immediately identifies Jesus with the same God that they were coming to worship. You're coming to the temple to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the same God is telling you to listen to his son, Jesus Christ. And that's, of course, a message that Jesus emphasized just before his death, especially if you look in the Gospel of John and you see Jesus' discussions with the people leading up to Maundy Thursday and the time before his death. Over and over again, he emphasized, I came from the Father, I'm going to the Father. I and the Father are one. If you follow the Father, you will listen to me. He emphasized that fact that whoever says they believe in God the Father, whoever wants to follow God, they need to listen to the one whom the Father sent, which is Jesus Christ. And Peter starts there with the Jews as well, calling them to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, the son of David, excuse me. We are witnesses of this. That, of course, is the special job of the apostles. Their job was to watch and witness to everybody else all the things they saw, all the things that Jesus did, especially his death and resurrection, so that we would know that these things really happened. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know is made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, faith in the name of Jesus, so Peter emphasizes, believe in Jesus and you will be healed, repent, and he'll take care of you. But it's also not as if the faith of the lame man is what made him Well, the power isn't in the faith. The power is in the Word of God that calls us to faith. And notice that when Peter and John healed the lame man, he had no faith. He didn't even know who Jesus was. He didn't even know who Peter and John were. Peter and John didn't say, believe, and then you'll be healed. But they said, here, we have this gift that we can give to you, and healed him. And then through that healing, he believed. And this is true for all of us. We believe because the power of God has healed us. Now, maybe the power of God hasn't healed any physical ailments for us, but the power of God has reached into our heart and healed our broken heart, teaching us to repent of our sins. It is Christ's power that acts first and creates and heals, and then the faith comes from that power, not the other way around. This is very different from the way that many faith healers present it in our day and age, of course, saying that, well, if you believe enough, then you can be healed. But that's not what happens here. It is Jesus' name that and his power which healed this man, not the man's faith. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even his son Jesus. So notice how quickly Peter gets to the point. The point isn't that this man had been healed, and what Peter calls for the people to do is not, well, follow me and, you know, I will give you bread, follow me, listen to me, and you will be healed of all your diseases. But he immediately points them to the problem, which is their sin, and the solution, which is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, through which they are healed, brought to faith, and given eternal life. Notice how closely chapter 3 here resembles chapter 2. Pentecost. What does Peter do there? But immediately starts with the Old Testament and then brings them to Jesus and shows how Jesus is the fulfillment of that Old Testament. And that's what he does here too. This, he has mercy on the lame man, and we should remember that the work of the church is a work of mercy. First and foremost, the mercy of proclaiming the word of God, but also recognizing what sin has done to people in this world, not just their sin, but sin in general, often having broken and destroyed people, we should act in mercy whenever we have the opportunity to help them out. As Luther says, to help them in every bodily need. The work of the church is work of mercy. Now, but that, however, we have to always remember that that kind of mercy working is secondary. First and foremost, the work of mercy in proclaiming repentance and salvation through Jesus Christ, which is, of course, is what Peter is doing right here. In his mercy, he reaches out to this man and heals him by the power of Jesus, but he also then uses it to proclaim Jesus Christ, repentance, and forgiveness of sins. Okay, well, this is a story that a lot of times the kids really enjoy. It's a great one for the kids, so I hope you guys have fun with it, and the Lord bless your Sunday school lessons this week.